start a journey, not a fad. Kick off your fitness journey with up to $500 off Peloton Bike, Bike Plus, or Tread packages. Choose the package that will take your training to the next level with accessories like our cycling shoes, heart rate band, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. Join now and you'll see why 92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later. All access membership separate. Offer ends January 8th, 2023. Excludes Bike, Bike Plus, and Tread Basics. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Who's making that racket? Okay. This is the voice of the Christian resistance, and tonight, the Lord of the Board, the courageous producer, courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, and from way out yonder, down yonder in Texas. Well, he's not a cowboy, but he's the co-founder of Cops for Christ International and Cops for Christ National. He's a well-known author, and well, I'm his hero. And so there we have John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. Yes, you are my hero. Yes.
Well, hey, guess what? We have a special guest tonight. He might not know what he's gotten into here, but he's a Christian patriot, and he's a filmmaker, and he's like one of us. He's got a story. He's not getting along real good with the government types, and that is a filmmaker, Ken Cromer. Are you there, Ken?
Yes, sir. You're a little faint. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're coming in loud and clear.
Oh, very good. Very good. I'll just
okay,
keep my close here.
Yeah, I'll try to speak up. Everybody's got to speak right into their phone. And
very good.
Tonight, fellas, let's get right into the scripture, and we're going to go with Psalms 1 and 2. Psalm 1 and 2. And let's just start. Let's take it a verse at a time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Can you be that man if you're involved today with what is called woke? Can you possibly be that? I mean, can you today be on the left and even in the public school system and the fake news media and Hollywood, can you be that and still be blessed as the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly and not standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful? So if you're involved today, the way things are in the public education system, for the most part, and I'm talking about these school boards today out there, I'm talking about the mainstream media. You know, I mean, lying is just unbelievable how these folks have got no shame, just no shame at all. And You look at the so-called White House press corps, and we'll look at Joe Obama. Can you possibly be? He's a professing Christian, right? But he squints his eyes and he whispers, and he says, "Listen." He squints his eyes and he tells big lies. Okay, and so, but then he says, "But he that delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in the and his law doth, and in his law he doth meditate day and night." What do you think that means? But he that delighteth in the law of the Lord, and he doth meditate day and night.
Well, he loves the Word of God, Pastor Ernie, and understands the importance of it, and thinks on the Word of God rather than wokeness.
Did you think, does that refer to the first five books of Moses, or does that refer to the entire, from cover to cover, Word of God?
Oh, that's the entire Bible.
Did the Lord Jesus Christ, did he explain the law, what was really meant by the law in many passages in the New Testament?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah. So then when it says here, and he doth... Oh, by the way, Ken, just jump in. If you have a question or comment, just jump in and add your comment.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because John and I...
I guess to just get warmed up, I would just say, you know, it is interesting what you're talking about, because when you have the Lord's word on your heart, verses and phrases from Scripture will actually pop to mind as you go about dealing with things. And I've had a few little verses just pop to mind as you're talking. I'm not remembering what they are at the moment, but it's like, to me, the word of the Lord is the path. And in fact, I guess I could share this Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We took that scripture and we blew it up and had it on many doors inside our home for many years. That was our family's motto, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So, yeah, I guess I'm jumping in to try to help out here, yeah?
Is that all right? All right, very good. And so here, when he goes on to say, and it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit, and in his season his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Does that mean that if you really trust in the Lord with all your heart, that everything is going to be hunky-dory? You're not going to have problems. You're not going to sometimes make investments or something and lose some money, or... things are always going to go right for you, or does that mean that God's keeping a record, and you're placing up your treasures in heaven, and that it's not what you do in this world, but what happens in the next? Is that what he's referring to?
Well, yeah. When I look at it, there it's based on meditation in the Word, so we're our thinking is becoming godly because we're thinking on his word. And he shall be planted by the rivers of water. Now, a tree planted by water, no matter what happens in your life, you know, a drought, let's say, that tree is not going to die or wither because its roots are in the river and not in the drought soil. He shall bring forth fruit in his season. So you'll always be producing fruit for the Lord. There's always be fruit in your life. You will not wither because, again, the roots are in the river, not in the ground. And whatever you do shall prosper. So God is going to bless our life. Now, there could be setbacks in it, but in the long run, we're going to be prospering because our mind is focused in his word. That's the way I look at that.
Yeah, well, that would be a good way of looking at it. Do you think that in doing that, that you have that peace that passes all understanding even though, you know there's going to be some hard times heading your way, but you know that God is on the throne, he's in complete control, and here that you're going to get through this. That is, you're going to get through this at some point. And what you're doing here, again, it goes down. Well, you just have that feeling when you know you're walking with the Lord, when you're walking with the Lord, that it's all going to come out right. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. It'll always come out right. Yes.
Alrighty. So the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's pretty hard to get that message to the ungodly, right? I mean, they are, because of biblical illiterates, and I'm talking about, we start off by talking about those people in the media. I sit there and I'm looking at these people, and they're like a lot of people, but their idea is to further their career. They want to have a career in the media. They want to be known by people and popular, and thus and such, paying absolutely no attention, in other words, to what God's Word, the Bible, says. You know, in Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, all liars will have their place in lake of fire. Okay, do you believe that?
Certainly, if the scriptures say so, sure enough.
Okay, so, I mean, is there any stuttering, or is that, like, really clear?
Very direct.
It's very direct, right? And so,
yeah, and so, Pastor Ernie, we need to look at the root of the lying. Well, the root of the lying is they following their father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. So
Amen.
It's not merely just lying. It's the force that's behind it, Pastor Ernie. They're following their father, the devil.
So is lying still lying if you call it something else? In other words, if you call it a narrative, say this is our narrative. We're not lying. We're doing our job. We get paid to go on and say what's the script. They take the script and then we open up the echo chamber and we all parrot the very same words over and over, and that's what we're paid to do. So it's not lying. We're just doing what we're paid to do. Do you think that mindset is very prevalent in the mainstream media?
It is the mainstream media.
And somehow...
Amen. And, yeah. And it's also the courts and especially attorneys.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus said three times.
And they'll say whatever they have to get their point across, to make their money.
You know,
be damned and justice be damned. Mm-hmm.
Ken, for 45 years, we had a death row ministry. I went up to death row. 45 years we ministered up there. And
wow.
Some years ago, and we've had several, I know innocent men were executed. Same time, we helped to get about seven men off of death row who never should have been there. They were throwaways. They had to stop an investigation, so... You know, prosecutors, they want to win, and they don't necessarily care who goes down as long as they get a win. This is the way it's become out there today. But anyhow, the long and short was, the night before an execution of one of those men, his attorney, which was a female law professor, she said, now her and I are sitting right next to each other talking to him. And she's telling him, she makes us concoct this big story as a last-minute appeal, but it's totally false, totally false. And she says, here's what you need to do. Right now, last-minute appeal, call the governor. And so he looks at me and he says, what do you think? You think I should, that's a big whopper of a lie. Do you think I should do that? And I said, it's never right to lie. Now, There are actually people that have actually said that Jesus lied at times. No, he didn't lie at times, okay? He didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He didn't answer the question they wanted the way they wanted to hear it. But here, she yelled, this woman yelled at me. She said, "We get paid to lie for you." And I says, "You don't get paid to lie for me. You can keep your lies to yourself. I don't want any part of them, okay?" And then I had, I was very, very cautious because, do you know what they talk about, a woman's scorn? We went back. We happened to be staying at the same hotel. And when I went to get in my room, lo and behold, their door opened right directly across from the hall from me, and it was her. And she looked at me, and she had, "You know, today if you get accused of something, you're guilty until you can prove yourself to be innocent." And really, guilt or innocence really does not mean very much today in today's judicial system. It just doesn't. The corruption is so bad.
Yes.
So here, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." So he's telling you that the heathen are raging. They're imagining. What is the vain thing that they imagine? Do you think the heathen believe that God has to get in line with their program, that God needs to be woke and learn to be woke? Do you think that these idiots actually believe this?
Yeah, Pastor, vain, worthless, you know, vain imaginations, absolutely worthless. They think they're God. They think they're above the law. Just worthless thoughts in their mind as far as eternity is concerned.
So do you think Joe Biden believes that by promoting baby killing, and promoting, and you know that this guy is making children available through keeping the gates of the border open so the drugs can come in to take care of Bill Gates' program of depopulation, but also to continue to bringing children in there, making children available, keeping a supply of children for his fellow pedophiles across the country. There's big money in that. Now, do you think that in Joe Biden's mind, that doing these things, because he holds an office, that God allowed him to go into that office, even though he usurped the office, that somehow, God is going to have to accept that, or maybe that's in line with some of what he's been taught. I don't know. What do you think? How can somebody rationalize that you can rage against God like he's doing and take counsel against the Lord and his anointed? Talking about the Christians, you know, he hates Christians. Joe Obama Biden hates Christians with a passion. He loves sodomites. He loves pedophiles. He loves baby killers. If it's a sin, not just Joe Obama, but he represents the Democratic Communist Party. And do you think that in their mind that they rationalize this, that God somehow has to fall in line and accept what they believe? Do you think that
God
believe that?
God said something about this. Mm-hmm. Pastor, God has said something about this. In Proverbs 17:15, he says, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord." Let me read that again. "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord." Speaking of abominations, it's the Biden and Obama nation, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, but if you go also over, when you're talking about that too, Proverbs 24, and in Proverbs 24, he says this, these things belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. But to him that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon him. Every man shall kiss the lips of him that giveth the right answer. Now, excuse me, I've been, for the last couple of months, I've been trying to exhorting nationally known preachers to stand up and do like the men of God of old did and out these people, to call them out for their wickedness, okay? And I noticed something, it seems like that's happening today. I heard on, I don't know who the pastor was, but there was a preacher on the radio today. I just caught a part of it. But he was really coming out against one of our senators from Ohio for betraying the people, for becoming a rhino. And he was calling him out by name. But I noticed this also. I mentioned three names. I mentioned Charles Stanley. Excuse me. Excuse me. I mentioned Charles Stanley. I mentioned Franklin Graham and John MacArthur. And I've been saying if they would only learn to call these people out, to call Obama. Well, here, Franklin Graham now has called out that the female Christian singer for marrying a woman. What is her name? Help me out on this one. She's probably the best known female singer out there, was supposed to, a Christian. I'm having one of my senior moments here.
Amy but Frank, Grant?
Yeah, Amy Grant. That's who it is. He called her out for marrying a woman. And does that surprise you? It sure surprised me. Okay.
You don't hear much these days, do you?
No. Well, he, Franklin, really, I got to give him credit. He really, he preached to heaven sweet and hell hot on that. And that was a good one. And then I saw John MacArthur. He outed Governor Newsom. He outed him, and he called him out. And that was really good. And so finally, they're starting to do what they're supposed to do, what they've been supposing to do for years. Let me go. You know what?
Just a quick side comment is that the founding of this nation would not have happened without the Black Robe Regiment, the preachers, the pastors, who not only preached the truth from the pulpit, but then would pick up their gun and go get in the fight as necessary because they knew that that's what it was coming down to. I can't imagine too many of the preachers and pastors of the day being willing to stand up and step between those that would do harm to others and the victims. You don't see that very often. So when you do, you've got to call it out as you've done. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're talking to two of them tonight.
Amen.
John McTerman and I, we've been doing that for a lot of years, haven't we, John?
We sure have, Pastor Ernie, many years. Well, me and you go back to the mid-90s.
Yeah, and we're official Black Robe Regiment. Somebody, a fellow actually mailed me a black robe in the mail, and I got it was an interesting thing. I got a call, or not a call, it's actually, it was a letter telling me that I was considered officially one of the members of the Black Robe Regiment from this group here. But we've been kind of had our own Black Robe Regiment going for the last 50 years. And so,
that's awesome. Hang tight. Thank you for that service.
Well, thank you, and we'll be back right after this. And now, the end is near. If you're not saved, then you're hurting. It's him that you should fear. And that's the truth, I know for certain. He gave me life that's eternal. He kept me from going astray. He's God, and this I know, He did it His way. Regrets, He's had none, not even one that I can mention. He saved you and I. He brought us through without exemption. He planned each charted course, a guiding light along the pathway. For sure, not more or less, He did it His way. Throughout ancient times, I know it's true. There was never anything that He couldn't do. By faith in Him, never was any doubt. What He said, He carried out. All in all, as I recall, He did it His way. He lived, He suffered and died, but He arose in power and glory. In Him I now abide, for history is just His story. His word is where life's at. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, no, not me. He did it His way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his reward, then he has not. A broken heart, He can heal. And in His word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it His way. A broken heart, He can heal. And in His word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it His way. Boy, he did it his way. He's doing it his way. And boy, the opposition is really going to be in for an extremely rude awakening, because at the end of the day, God gets His way, guaranteed. Ken.
Yes, sir.
You and Barbie, are you the ones they named those dolls after?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
Or did they name those dolls? They used to be commercials on TV.
Yes, of course they did.
Oh, okay. All right.
She's sitting beside me here, and you startled me. Well, you know, we kind of joke about that. I'm 5'5". I'm a towering 5'5", and Barbara's 5'8 and a half. And when we got married, we thought, we thought it'd be kind of fun to get a Barbie and Ken doll and stick them in the cake and just
take Ken and push him down a little bit, my mother would not have it.
Wow.
We've had seven kids, and all the boys are closer to 6 foot, and all the girls are closer to my height. So my strategy worked well, you know?
Yeah, it must have. But I, you know, no, it was Amy Grant is what the article said. I'm talking to some folks here who's talking to me off the board. Yeah, that's what the article I read. So I didn't. It was that Franklin Graham really preached her heavy, sweet, and hot. You better check it out because, well, it came from World News Daily, so they're always pretty really accurate. Anyhow,
World Net Daily. Yeah, they're very good.
Yeah. Well, Joe, when he first got started, he was. I was there with him. We were one of the first people to put him on the radio way back when. And Larry Nichols and I. That was some years ago. Now, but you and Barbies, you guys must have been really involved in some like heavy duty special forces training because they sent how many ages did they send to your house?
Well, depends on which time you want to talk about. The first time we had a SWAT team of 13 or more U.S. Marshals hit our home when we were we'd been served a notice saying United States of America versus Barbara and Ken Cromar et al. There were a few other.
Hello, are you there? Okay, it looks like Ken dropped there. I believe at one of the times, so hopefully he can reconnect with us, at one of the times there was like 70 of these agents hit his house. That's McTurner making all that noise.
I'm not making any noise, Mr. Ernie.
Somebody's making that noise, and I'm not making that noise. And Ken's dropped off.
I'm just sitting.
You know, what happens is the moment you say the words IRS, they get offended at themselves and they cut your line.
Well, I believe it. You know, I know what you mean. Believe me, I do.
Well, you know, see. We made the mistake of I was a city councilman from 1994 to the year 2000 in my little city of Cedar Hills, Utah. In fact, man, I won the election. I barely made it through the primary by two votes, and then I won the election, my seat, by one vote. They did a recount and then threw out a bad ballot, and it was a two-vote win. I mean, and from then on, my life has been crazy ever since with regards to the political scene. And for my years in there in the Cedar Hills Council, we just kept finding all sorts of corruption. And then when I left in the year 2000, people kept coming back saying, Ken, there's problems here. Can you help? And I was like, please don't tell me. I swore an oath, and if you tell me about it, I've got to do something. The oath never ends, right? There's no exit clause on the oath of office, right?
Right.
Tell me. But they kept telling me, and I kept having to jump in and help. Well, We were fighting this corrupt little city government for so many years that come 2017, we did another grandma request, which for us in Utah, that's a FOIA, you know, Freedom of Information Act, to find out how many people are golfing for free in the city. And sure enough, the former mayor that got us into the mess had only 500 tee times in a two-year period. 500.
Wow.
He was golfing for free and bringing friends in and getting his carts for free. And the moment we exposed that, I don't think it was 2 months later before we got hit with United States of America versus Ken and Barbara Cromar and saying that we owed $1,053,028.65.
And how did they come up with that figure?
What? They made it up, frankly.
Oh.
we're a very modest home, it's all a fabrication. That's how they work. Most people don't really know. You hit a button on me there, Pastor. Most people don't really know who's required to pay federal income tax. And I know this is going to kind of probably rub a couple of people the wrong way, but I've done my homework, and I know who is required to pay federal income tax. And the punchline to that story is it's federal employees and people that live in Washington, D.C., Guam, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands,
and any of the territories. Do you live in Guam or Puerto Rico, Pastor?
No, I know what you're saying is true, and
yes.
but it's totally ignored by the courts out there. John McTernan, you might want to talk mention on that. John is a former special U.S. Treasury agent for, 26, 27 years? John? Are you there, John?
John there? See what happens when those magic three letters are said.
Yeah, I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
All right. Yeah, what he was talking about, go ahead and repeat that. That is, it's under it's UCC, too, but that's under the Constitution, isn't it?
You know, I don't have it in front of me here, but there's a it's actually in USC 26, Title 26, and I can't remember the site. I have it. I filed a paper about it on my property, an official declaration of who I am and who I'm not. And according to IRS code, Title 26, it says, all United States citizens are required to pay federal income tax. But then in another section below that, it says the definition of United States for the purposes of the Title 26 is Washington, D.C., Guam, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and the territories. What? So they're saying that when you're talking about IRS code and Title 26, you're only required to pay taxes if you're a citizen that's a United States citizen, but during the Title 26, United States means Virgin Islands, Guam, Puerto Rico, or Washington, D.C., or I forgot to mention that you're a federal employee. So that's what the dirty little secret that nobody knows is. You know, people have said, Ken, you're just a liar and a tax cheat. And I've said, wow, that's really harsh. I thought you knew me better than that. I pay every tax that I owe, but I also make it a point not to pay the ones I don't. So let me put it to you this way. If you think that I'm a tax cheat, then I challenge you right here and now to take a piece of paper out, write down the law that you know that Barbara and I have broken, and sign your name to it that you know we've broken that law, and do that under penalty of perjury and sign your name, then you're saying something. Oh, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I just trust the courts and I trust the IRS agents. You know, if they say you're a cheat, then you're a cheat. And
let me ask you this. What's the what's the difference between wages and income? Wages and income according to UCC.
Oh, you know, I didn't do my homework to prepare. There's so much to know. I can't remember the details, but I know
wages is what
very much. Yes.
Wages is what you get paid for labor. If you mm-hmm. you're working for, you know, $20 an hour, and you work 8 hours.
And yes.
That's your wages you get paid for. But income is if you're making income like off rental properties, for example, if you have rental properties.
Right.
Okay. And so the tax, when it says on those IRS forms, income, that doesn't mean wages. It means income. But if you put your wages down there, once you've done that, then you've cooked yourself, because if you say, well, wait a minute, I found out I made a mistake, and they say, no, you're the one that says that was, that was, and so now your wages are income.
Yeah, and, Pastor, you've just said something really important. I was going to say the other part to that story.
I do that now and then.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was going to just say is that when they say, well, I'm just going to trust what the government says, that you're a liar and a tax cheat. Well, then I say, are you being honest in your taxes? Can you take a piece of paper and write down the law that you know that you are obeying when you race down every April 15th by midnight to the post office, turn in your tax returns that you just signed? Can you do that? Can you write down that? Well, no, I don't really know what the law says. And I said, well, that's funny, because the reality is when you signed your 1040 form, you actually are swearing under penalty of perjury that you know that you're obeying the law, and that you're, and that the numbers you put down there are exactly right. And if you're wrong, you're allowing them to come in and give you a very strict and careful examination in all sorts of parts of
of your home and body, and these people are not nice. And so point is that the law is real. So let me just mention, you know, you asked how many, you know, people hit us with the SWAT. The answer was 13 plus U.S. Marshals. And within seconds, we were out on the street and homeless for 10 months. And by the good graces of kind people, neighbors, friends, family, we moved 10 times in 10 months and then were inspired and impressed to actually move back into our home, because we realized that the auction had failed, that they had done, that people didn't come up with money, that the title was still in our name, and we'd filed a land patent. Now, that's a whole other story, but most people don't know what a land patent is. But we secured our property back to the original land patent, what do you call that, where the Homestead Acts, right? Yeah. Back to the very beginning. Our land patent was signed by President Grover Cleveland February 26th of 1887. And so we secured that, and we walked right back into our home. Not a thing had been moved. The U.S. District Court, Chief Judge Robert J. Shelby, knew that he didn't have legal authority to do anything he did. It was all a bluff. So we were in our home for about 5 or 6 months when suddenly we were hit by a 75-man SWAT team. Now, Pastor, how many people do you know that have ever been hit by a 30-man SWAT team? Probably President Trump. Roger Stone, he got hit by 29. Steve Bannon got hit by 20-something, we think. We don't really know the numbers. There was that other fellow who was standing up for pro-life. I think he was a pastor, 20. But we got hit by a 75-man SWAT team in our sleepy little neighborhood. That's crazy.
And I saw some of the film footage. They actually had armored vehicles.
MRAPs.
You watched
the footage. Thank you, Pastor.
Of course I did.
We should tell your audience where to see that. It's at a website called miraclesingodwetrust.com. That's miraclesingodwetrust, all one word, .com. And there's a tab there that says Barbie and Ken's Greatest Videos, and you can just click on that. And, you know, I'm a filmmaker, I told you, and we're making a documentary. We're living it first, and then as soon as we get done with that, we'll finish the film. But
You're very, very involved in SWAT. You're very involved with the Bronson Brothers case, too, coming before the Supreme Court in just a few days.
You know, yes, and we should talk about that. The Bronson Brothers, what's really funny is we were aware of each other, but we didn't know what each other was doing. Loy Bronson, who we were together on the show with you on, I think it was the 18th, and by the way, at miraclesingodwetrust.com, we have the show posted there if anybody wants to go hear that. Loy Bronson was on the show with us here, right?
Yeah.
And he lived 7 houses away from us in Cedar Hills. And we knew he was working on stuff with regards to the election, but we weren't really clear on all the details. Well, then we have our things happen, and then, boom, his story breaks and is on a radio show of a friend of mine, and I heard it, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is the first announcement. We dropped everything that we were doing and started promoting Loy Bronson and his brothers Gaynor, Darren, and Rowland in their efforts at the Supreme Court, because it had finally gotten there. And most people don't know, I know you do, Pastor, how much of a miracle this is, that these four men, trumpet players, shofar players, if you will, the trumpets of God, if you will, who are ready to bring the walls of Jericho down, or Washington, D.C., by simply standing up for what's right and true and challenging what's happened and calling out all 388 members of Congress who voted to just go ahead and certify the election, when 100 members of Congress had said, no, 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 there's something wrong, that something has happened here. It appears that we have countless affidavits saying that there's been chicanery and cheating, and there's belief by the national security that China has gotten involved in the tampering of our elections. We have to put a pause on this and investigate it for 10 days. To make sure that we don't certify something that's not certifiable.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. To the certification Is that simply what they're trying to explain to us, a rubber stamp? That simply that Mike Pence had no obligation under the law to, when you have a complaint filed on that, does the law or does it not say that you have to investigate, you have to hear it, you have to hear the complaint, right?
That's my understanding. You have to have credible sources, and congressmen are, by definition, supposed to be credible sources. There were 100 congressmen who said, no, we have to stop. Something's wrong here.
And they were, they were standing in front of Mike Pence.
Go ahead.
Josh Hawley was standing there. Ted Cruz was standing there.
Yes.
Jim Jordan was standing. They had in their hands. They had it in their hands, okay? Right here, we've got the proof. Here it is. And Mike Pence, by law, was supposed to look at them. And he was supposed to say, by law, let me look at this before I certify this, because there's an objection. And by law, if there's an objection, we're supposed to hear the objection. I know that's what the law is. But
exactly. You know, our Senator Mike Lee is known. He's a neighbor, frankly. Our kids have gone to the same school, American Heritage School, a great school that teaches kids spiritual aspects of learning. And I admire Mike Lee, but I could not believe how frustrated and angry. I think I even started yelling at the radio or the television, whatever it was, when Mike Lee was giving his five-minute speech about how the Constitution doesn't give him any other authority than to certify the votes that are presented. Why in the world would the founders have put a certification process in there if you're simply supposed to rubber stamp it? That's silly. That's foolish. You certify it only if it is legitimate, and you have people before you saying that the votes are in question. The National Security fellow Ratcliffe, I couldn't remember his name for a while. The Ratcliffe, I can't remember his title exactly. But he was supposed to, by law, provide a declaration on whether the election was certifiable, and he said he could not. That there was reason to believe that there was Chinese infiltration into the machines, and that there was some black magic going on, if you will. And they ignored those facts. They decided to certify it anyway. And I hereby publicly, we did it when Loy Brunson and myself were with you last time, I call for Senator Mike Lee to resign. Not because I don't think he's an honorable man, but because I think he made a huge mistake and spoke on behalf of what amounts to treason. And I know he's not a treasonous man, but by example, he needs to lead now by stepping down and saying, you know, people of America and people of Utah specifically, I failed you. I got caught up in the moment, and I was wrong, and I need to resign my seat. And if you need to bring charges of treason against me, I understand, but I'm here to resign my seat and lead by example and tell any other senator or congressman who's voted in favor of the certification when it was in question to step down and have new people sent back who are really constitutional, more so than I thought I was. And he's seen by the nation as one of the few constitutional senators.
Okay, let me ask you this, because let me just go in there, because the word certify means to legitimize. That's what the word means, to legitimize. In other words, to say, yes, this is true. Yes, this is true. How can you do that if you don't look at it?
Exactly.
Okay. And so do you think those judges in the Supreme Court know that? I tell you what. I was really, really, really disappointed with two people, Tom Cotton one, but especially Marsha Blackburn. I was always really held her in high esteem. And when she did that, I just could not believe that. Now, I'm sure now she wishes she could do it over again, it was just... But that's what it means.
She can join Senator Lee.
yeah. And
stepping away and saying I was wrong and apologize and step away.
We better ask McTurnan what he thinks about all this, because he's not saying anything. And when he's not saying anything, people get nervous. What do you think about all this?
I'm in deep thought, Pastor Ernie, and it's just amazing the broadness of the corruption. And it's a combination of corruption and cowardice in Washington with that election. I mean, if Pence thought there was something wrong, he should have declared it. Because he said he had to, right, Pastor Ernie? He said he had to by law. He made that up, I guess.
No, the whole point was to certify, to make certain, you know. That's what it means.
Right.
It means to make certain. And that's what he was supposed to make it certain. So, look, you got 100 congressmen standing in front of you saying, don't certify that. It's not certain. There's a lot of corruption here. But here's what bothered me a lot. I don't know if you guys remember, if you watched that, Nancy Pelosi stepped up there and handed him a coin. She handed him, looked like a coin, because they kind of zoomed in on it, and he had this smile and this big smile on his face. He betrayed us. He betrayed the President Trump. And
Pastor Ernie,
I remember that.
I think it was 30 pieces of silver. It was 30 pieces of silver.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah.
Well, what happened, Pastor Ernie, is he should have signed it, like, saying, he should have put a disclaimer on it. I feel by law I have to sign this. However, I believe there's irregularities that I can't really believe that it's accurate.
I think the period that they use for... in this case, is 10 days, that they have 10 days to look at it.
That's my understanding, yep.
Yeah, that's what's been done up until now. But, I mean, just, it's like in your face, the corruption that you're seeing happening, are you going to believe your lying eyes, or are you going to believe NBC, ABC, CBS when they outright lie to you? And that's what's taking place. So what is there an update on what has taken place? You know what?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you this, too, because I'll just tell you this, okay? There's a lot more letters going into the Supreme Court than are going to the Brunson brothers, and let me tell you why that was. There was a number of people, the form letters that were made up, a lot of people took those. And since it's the address of the court was right there on it, they filled them out and they just sent them in. But now, I mean, we do have the address of the Brunson brothers. And by the way, it's up on our website. It's up. If you folks out there listening to us, they still want letters. It's not too late to write. But you can go to our website, wrwlwebsite.org, wrwl.org, and go to blog. What's new? Scroll down to Action Required Supreme Court. Action Required Supreme Court. And then you can select. All of that is right there. Select your open. You can get the letters. You've got the addresses for the Brunson brothers. The addresses for the Supreme Court. All of that stuff is right
Pastor,
there.
Could I interject and tell you that some people like Telegram, and the Brunsons have actually put together a Telegram channel, and it's called Brunson Brothers SCOTUS. And SCOTUS, for those who don't know, means Supreme Court of the United States. So Brunson is spelled B-R-U-N-S-O-N. That's B-R-U-N-S-O-N, Brothers SCOTUS, S-C-O-T-U-S.
Hang tight, hold tight right there,
yes,
Ken.
Sir.
We're up against the hard break. We'll be back right after this. We'll pick it up there.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations
to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.